It's so crazy because in a world that's so connected, we're all so lonely and impersonal.
Yes.
And I hate it.
But those genuine connections, those like when people pick up the phone or when people just even text you something that is meaningful that shows that they've been paying attention, that's like really, it's a big deal, right?
My clients, some of my clients, they like laugh at me. They're like, you're a caller. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like,
you are a caller.
You love to talk on the phone. I was like, it's just better for me.
So funny. You are one of the rare people who calls me. And I always pick up your calls.
You know
what?
Because you're the best, Susie. So this is episode 10, which is crazy to think about. Episode 10, I've got someone very, very important and special in my world here. Susie Adamson, who has done more for me than I think we have time to talk about today, but she is my business coach. And I was thinking about this as I was getting prepared today. How long have we been working together?
I feel like it's been at least a year, if not more.
Yeah.
On and off.
A little bit.
Right.
And I remember you were interviewed on one of the Compass, what was it, like 5 AMers or 6 AMers?
Yeah.
Calls. And I was like, I need her. I need more of her in my world. And we started this awesome coaching partnership. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. That's how it's a partnership.
Yes, I agree.
And this is like an interesting concept, this whole like real estate coaching. But before you were coaching, you ran a pretty successful team.
I did.
So let's start there. How did you get into just exclusively coaching? Because I think you've been coaching now for 2 years consecutively.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So I never thought I'd be a realtor, first of all.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, I never planned to be a realtor. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Say Anything. It's a very old movie, but there's a scene in there where John Cusack says, I never want to sell anything processed. I don't want to process anything sold. And that's how I felt. I've never wanted to sell anything in my life.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
Yeah. I don't consider myself a salesperson even now, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
I hate all things sales. And anyway, I fell into real estate. It's a good fit. It's the right thing for me to do. I love people, sort of. I don't actually love houses. Houses are neither here nor there for me. But I do love helping people as most. I think that is what most realtors have in common, right? They love helping people.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the common thread between real estate and coaching, right? I just love advising people and helping people find their best avenue to things. And so a year into real estate, I thought to myself, this is remarkable that I can make a good living doing this.
Yeah.
And I looked around and I saw a lot of my friends. A lot of them were stay-at-home moms.
Right.
A lot of them had lost their way and their sense of purpose. A lot of them were feeling very down about themselves.
Right.
Just feeling like, I've been at home for X number of years. How can I possibly get back into the workforce? What do I say I've done?
Yeah.
What do I have to bring to the table? I'm totally out of practice. My muscles are atrophied, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just was like, what are you talking about? You know, you're amazing. You were in sales before you were a stay-at-home mom. And oh, by the way, staying at home and being a mother full-time is no joke.
No joke.
And you've been working. You just had been working for no pay. So I always reframe stay-at-home moms that way. You're working.
Sure.
You're just not working for pay or for benefits. And so I just wanted to help other people have the opportunities that I saw that I had in real estate. And so a year in, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to train. I want to coach. I want to help other people meet some, you know, greater potential than they're experiencing right now, if they want it.
Right.
And so then I started training within the office that I worked for a year into real estate. I didn't really know what I was doing, though. So, and I like to have integrity about what I'm teaching, as you know. And so I found I had only done listings. I had not worked with any buyers because I was the listing coordinator for a team.
Oh.
And so I had never done an open house. I had not done a lot of what I was training people on. And I was like, this is not going to work. I can't do this.
So interesting.
So I went back into production, became a solo agent, and did all the things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I quickly became successful in part because I had checklists and I had systems and I had
templates. Organized guru.
So I had been in project management and account management prior to real estate.
Okay.
I was in advertising, marketing, brand consulting. And so I just did what I knew how to do. And I was like, I don't know how anybody does it differently, but
Thank God for you.
As you know, there are plenty of real estate agents who don't have a checklist or and just keep it all in their heads and they just manage, right?
Yeah.
All day long, I coach agents who don't have a single email template, who don't use any systems whatsoever.
Does my face look, am I red? Are you guilty? Sweating. I am sweating. Oh, boy.
So anyway, 9 years went by before I found my real lane in coaching because, again, I didn't want to do what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
Because I had come from an advertising background, I knew how important it was to have a unique selling proposition. I knew how important it was to, like, have a lane and be good at it.
Yeah.
And so it took me 9 years to figure out what that lane was. I did not want to be just another real estate coach. The universe does not need that.
How do you define your lane?
So when we moved over to Compass, our team,
yep.
I found that they had amazing systems and I dove into the deep end of the platform. And while I do coach non-Compass agents, I love the particular system that we have at Compass.
Yeah, me too.
And I saw that most people were not using it the way that it could be used, the maximum potential that it had. And so I thought, this is my lane. This is what I can help people with. And so that's what I've been doing full time for 2 years.
And you also were, so you were in New Jersey. But yes. Now you're like a local Philly girl.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes.
I mean, Phoenixville.
So in New Jersey for 17 years, which is shocking to me because I never in my wildest imaginations, this is my whole life is full of, I never thought I would. So I never thought I would be in real estate. I never thought I would be a Jersey girl for any length of time. But I lived in New Jersey for as the longest period of time that I've ever lived anywhere in my life. And so in northern New Jersey, just outside of New York, I lived there for 17 years. And then a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I moved to Phoenixville, which is just outside of Philly.
So cool.
To be closer to my mom, who is now 85. And
amazing.
Wanted to spend more time with her. And my sons left for college, and so it was the right time.
It's so cool. And I think similar to your experience, like real estate is all about changes and evolution.
Yes.
And like this industry is evolving crazy. Yeah. And I can speak from my experience. So I got into the business when I was 22 and people, I mean, I've joked about this, but people were like, how old are you? You know, like I go to interview and they're like, I'm going to work with you to buy a house or sell a house. And I'm like, how old are you? Like, who cares? Right.
Right.
14 years later, I now have all this experience.
Yes.
But my experience in the business has shifted and changed with the technology, with companies, with the need of the consumer.
Yeah.
And I very quickly learned, because of all the things that make me, my superpower is people, but not checklists.
Yes. Yes.
And I have had this incredible experience with you in getting the right plan in order for me, ultimately, to service our clients at a really high level. And that's one thing I think people don't really understand is I work for me. Well, I actually really work for my clients, but there is nobody that's overseeing what I'm doing. And so I almost think of you as you're my coach, but you're really my direct report.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you keep me on task.
Yep.
We have very honest conversations. Mm-hmm. And a huge goal of mine, which you've really, really helped me with, which, yes, has its ups and downs, is I really started the year saying, in 6 months, I need an assistant.
Yeah.
And I'm really and I have one.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's great.
Yes.
We're working on things.
Yes.
And we need some systems.
Yes. And to get back to your question in terms of what my lane is not just helping people with the Compass platform.
Of course.
It is ultimately where how I've defined it is helping people get through the day with more purpose and productivity.
Yeah.
So most real estate agents are about, or coaches, coach to how to get more business.
Yes.
Right? How to increase your sales.
Right.
My coaching, if I had to define the goal of it, is really to help you scale, but not necessarily in terms of more sales.
Sure.
So scale your business in a way that is how you define success. And that might mean more time. It might mean more people. It might mean more sales, right? But you can't scale if you don't have systems. And I will say that there's a big difference between process and systems.
True.
So every agent has process. Even though people say to me all the time, I'm not a process person. I hate process. It's sort of like how people say, I hate math. You're like, Well, you can't hate math because you use math all the time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
you couldn't get through life without some math.
Sure.
And you can't get through real estate without process, right? You know, and you particularly, you have a lot of process.
Yeah.
Systems, though, are when you codify those processes in a way that's replicable and scalable.
Yeah.
And so I think even though you are not the typical client that I have where I give you checklists and I tell you to do X, Y, Z, and those work for you because those don't work for you, and that's okay, I think you still have managed to actually solidify in your mind what your systems are. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. And I think what's been incredibly helpful for me is actually taking the time, giving myself the time and the space to sit down with someone who is calm, who is like really is so good at all the things I'm not good at, and say, okay, Steph, let's talk about this small thing that keeps coming up. And you're like, ah, I don't have time. Yeah. I gotta go show home, like whatever. And we've been working on it for a really long time. And I'm actually I've learned so many things about myself and my business through working with you. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is like, I am better at just showing up, showing houses, getting in front of people. And I don't really want to respond to the email or any of that stuff. And slowly but surely, I'm realizing that there is a very happy place where I can live.
Yes.
Where my clients like the process and the other agents that maybe I'm in the deal with like the process. Yeah. And it's like helpful to everybody.
Yeah. I was thinking, Ashley, as you were talking, that I think that is one of the things that has worked so well between us is I find with not just you, but other clients of mine, that part of what I bring is to help you understand what your strengths are.
Yeah.
Right.
And how to define success.
It's so, exactly. And to catalog those wins, because so often you're going through so many deals and so many decisions and so many tasks, and you lose sight of your wins and your strengths and like what you're doing well. And like you think, oh, I'm good at talking to people, but it's so much more than that. You can't be a good real estate agent. You cannot be at the level of success that you're experiencing without having a certain number of key strengths.
And people in your corner. Like, I just looked back, and I don't say this to brag about myself. It's more of like a true statement. Like, I'm having my best year in real estate so far. And what's been consistent about it is our consistent coaching, our very, very clear path of success, which has been really helpful. Even though, like, not every call, I think it's a myth, like, not every call that we have is super productive.
Yeah.
Like, some days I'm out of it. Some days you just... You know, and that's okay. I mean, that's...
Sometimes I irritate you.
Sometimes I irritate you and I'm like, oh, I really pushed the limits on this one. But that's the purpose of it, is to surround yourself with people that aren't going to yes you to death. Yeah. They're going to push you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole... I feel like, at least probably because I'm in the business, and this is probably more for our audience who are realtors, but this whole coaching concept, like... 25 years ago, this wasn't really a thing. I mean, there were two coaches.
Right.
There was like Buffini and Tom Ferry, and that was kind of it, right? And it's like, it's really evolved.
Yes.
So what do you see for the future of coaching and for you specifically in coaching?
Well, I think that coaching is for your strengths and your weaknesses.
Well said.
And so there's room for anybody to get coaching, right? And I think that's true for myself. It's true for everyone in our business. It's true for everyone in life. It's sort of like therapy. I mean, there are people who think everyone should get therapy, right, on some measure. And that's true. I mean, when you think of coaching at the most basic level, it's just training, teaching, helping someone.
Accountability.
Right. And so who doesn't need more of that in their lives, right?
I think everybody does.
And I do think that my coach has said to me, at some point, everyone's going to be a coach on some level.
I guess, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. but at the same time, she also has said, it doesn't matter if the content is specific to you. It's how you deliver it. Just like a real estate agent.
Sure.
Same thing, right? There are thousands. Tens of hundreds of thousands of real estate agents.
More real estate agents than there are homes for sale right now.
Absolutely. But there's a reason why you're successful.
Fair.
And there's a reason why there's only, some small, tiny percentage of agents who are actually highly productive.
So who do you think is a good fit for coaching? If someone's listening to this right now and they're like, I don't know, it's a lot of money or a lot of time, like, what do you say to that person?
I mean, honestly, everyone's a good fit for coaching, right? Like, you know, a coach is going to say that. But in part because if you're new to real estate or if you're new to whatever business, you should probably have a coach. I should have hired a coach when I started my coaching business earlier than I did. And I realized it a year in.
Huh.
Oh, I really, if I could go back, I would have hired a coach to begin with.
Huh.
But when you're starting anything out, you feel like I don't have the money. I don't have, you know, like I don't even know what I don't know. So that's hard, right?
Right.
But if you think about, you need a mentor when you start any kind of business, and especially as a 1099, as an independent person, as an entrepreneur,
yeah,
it's so important to have somebody tell you what you don't know. You don't know, right? So if you don't have a mentor, if you're not on a team, you should hire a coach. It's money well spent so that you can, it's really an acceleration of your learning. You're going to learn it, probably. You can take 10 years learning it, or you can spend a couple months learning it. And then if you're in the business for any length of time, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, when you get to the point where you feel like it's not working anymore the way you're doing it, right? Like you're, that's how you got to, right? You got to the point where you, the pain is great enough,
right?
Or the reward is great enough.
Yeah.
That's when you should hire somebody to help you.
It's so interesting because, so I've coached, I've done some other coaching programs that I've really, really enjoyed. And, you know, I think everybody has like a different need at a different time, a different juncture in their career.
Right.
And at one point it was like, how do I get business? How do I build a business? Right. How do I be good at the, in the people, selling the product, overcoming certain things. And then it got to a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm so busy. Like, this is a hilarious thing that all real estate agents love to say. I'm so busy, but you're so busy that you can't like, one, there's no time to like enjoy the fruits of your labor. And every experience starts to feel a little rush.
Yeah.
And the whole point of this was like, be in front of people and help them.
Right.
And so I've made the shift from like how to generate a book of business to like now I'm 100% referral based. And how do I make that process way better? I mean, I joke all the time. I mean, I still would love this. I like, I just need to hire a CEO on top of me to tell me what to do, which is kind of you.
Yes. Everybody needs a CEO. I would love that too.
So you've been coaching for 2 years. What have you learned coaching in over the last 2 years?
I have learned so much.
Like,
so as
what?
I said, number one, I should have hired a coach earlier.
Mm.
So last year, not quite a year ago today, I hired my own coach, Danielle Wilkie, who used to run the coaching program at Compass and then started her own organization called The Helm for female coaches. And so I had talked to her a while back. I hired her. She was fundamental in helping me with several things. First of all, which is part of what I coached you, but I didn't think to like turn it toward me, right?
Sure.
She helped me really clarify who my ideal client is, which I think any entrepreneur needs to ask themselves early on. It did help that I had kind of done it for some period of time, so I knew what worked and what didn't, who I was for, who I wasn't for, right? So she helped me get clarity on that. She really helped me with my offerings, right? What products were going to solve the particular problems of the particular people I was looking to coach.
Yeah, your offerings are great.
Thank you. And she helped me with pricing, because that's a really hard thing for any entrepreneur, right?
Sure.
What am I selling? What is it worth?
Right.
And what I think a coach does for you in any capacity is to help tell you when you're wrong, right?
Yes.
And to also validate when you feel like you're right about something, right?
True.
So I needed someone other than my husband to tell me, oh, yeah, I think that's a good price for that. Or, you know, you can sort of field test certain things, but sometimes you just need someone who's done it longer to tell you, yes, that makes sense. Maybe you should rethink that. You know, push that a little bit further, dial that back, test it out in this way. So she helped me a lot with that. So number one, I learned I should have gotten a coach earlier, and it was money well spent. The second thing I think I've learned is how much more people need their hands held than I expected.
So
I started something, I beta tested it, but you can only beta test with so many people. And then as I launched my coaching, I tried something, I saw where it worked, I saw where it didn't work, I saw what landed with certain people. And you're just kind of, just with any entrepreneurial thing or any business, really, you're it's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out what sticks.
Right. And so I have learned how to go wide and then go small and then go even smaller and go deeper on the things that
you've taught
working.
Me that.
Yeah. So that's mostly what I've
those are the two things.
Yes.
Tell me more about coaching to compass agents versus other agents. Does that matter in your platform or offerings?
So it matters a lot in that what I offer people when I coach them is I help them, you know, I talk to people about how this is not about time management. Getting through the day better is not about time management. We hear the terminology time management and you think, oh yeah, that's what I need. I need to manage my time better. And I tell people all the time, you have a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Time is not to be managed. Priorities are not what we're managing either. You know what your priorities are. What we're managing are our habits and our decisions.
Killer.
Okay, so you've got 100%. So many decisions you make in a day.
Yeah.
What decision comes next? And how do I make it with the most efficient and effective use of my time in accordance with my priorities? As you're making decisions, I tell clients all the time, you want to try to stay on the road as much as possible without making too many exits. So we're distracted all day long.
We're on a highway.
You know that, right? We're distracted all day long. You're on a car trip. Let's say you're on a road trip. You're trying to exit and get onto the road as quickly as possible. Compass agents have the benefit of a platform that has been designed specifically to keep you on the path more narrowly.
Boom.
So if you need marketing, there's Marketing Center. If you need to go to your CRM, it's right there. If you are emailing, you can do it within the platform. If you need to create a CMA, you can do it in the platform. One-stop shop. And it is very difficult outside of Compass to find a platform that will do all of that.
Hmm.
That's why I joined Compass, actually, because I had spent 8 years prior to that trying to find that magic platform that would let me stay in one place. And instead, we had 5 different programs we were running.
Yikes.
And every time you switch attention, I talk about this a lot with you, context switching. Whenever you're changing direction from platform to platform, whether it's Gmail to Compass to Maps to whatever 50 billion tabs you've got open, you will lose time.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, this is completely foreign to you, right? You will lose attention. And every time you switch gears, you lose 20 to 30 minutes of attention minimum. So the more you can stay in one area. So if you're not a Compass agent, though, it doesn't mean you're screwed. You can absolutely try to minimize the number of platforms. So one thing I will say, though, is that the answer is not another app.
The answer
is not another program. So many of us are conditioned to think, well, there's got to be a better app. There's got to be a, you know, another thing I can do, like this timekeeping thing or this distraction app. I mean, I'm getting recommendations for things all the time. And I'm like, I just want to stay with my two apps, my two platforms as much as possible.
Well, that's one of the things that I've gotten out of our coaching is I am not a brain that can handle more than like the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense, like, I like to keep it simple. That's just my default. Yep. And I have found it very empowering to focus within the Compass platform itself, which is super helpful.
Yeah,
with very little reason to go outside of it.
Even still, I mean, with the Compass platform, as with any technology, it is difficult to learn how to use it effectively.
Sure.
Do you know?
Sure.
No tool is effective if you don't know how to use it for your life. And that gets back to why I think I'm an effective real estate coach is that I'm still a licensed agent.
Yeah, that's right. And
it
you
hasn't
understand.
Been that long since I was actively selling. So I know the challenges.
And it's such a good point because I think it's hard when, you know, I think, how do I say this in a politically correct way? But it is hard sometimes to relate to people who haven't sold a house in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because like, the nuances, the details, and that has been empowering too and super, super helpful. And you're not the rah-rah coach. You're the systems detail-oriented. Mm-hmm. We're going to get your business from A to B through these steps, which I have found incredibly helpful.
I mean, back to, you know, having started this whole coaching and training, I didn't want to coach to something I wasn't experienced with. I say to real estate agents all the time, you should move every few years because you need to understand the pain and stress that your clients go through. I mean, I hadn't moved in 10 years before I moved most recently. And when I moved, I was reminded all over again how incredibly painful and stressful it is.
Sure.
And I think that's, you know, you got to sometimes go through those things to. And so I went back into sales a little bit recently, just in my development. I'm keeping it small.
Oh, cool.
But I started putting marketing out, and I'm reminded how hard it is to get started in a brand new market
it is.
How much work it is. And then also, but like, what works? Do you know, going back to the basics and like getting into relationship with my neighbors and join the book club
and
went to the Ag Hunt and doing the thing so that I can be relevant to my clients.
So what advice do you have for someone that's just getting in the business?
Oh, I think it really is as simple as relationships. I say this all the time. My entire real estate business and I, ultimately, our team was in the top 1.5% in the country.
Impressive.
All based on relationships. I did not buy leads. I don't believe in cold calling people. That's just not who I am. It's not, didn't work for me. That's not my energy. Relationships. Be a human, go out there and talk to people. When you're on social media, don't use it as just a way for you to blast out what you're doing. But relationships is the core of social media, right? That's how it started.
Totally.
And so when it's used best, it is, as my dear friend Sky Michaels calls it, reverse social media, which is you go on there and you see what people are up to. Then you don't have to call them and say, hey, do you want to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? You say,
The worst call in the world.
Which is terrible. Nobody wants to make that call. No one wants to get that call.
Yeah.
But they do want to hear, hey, Steph, I heard you were I saw that you were sick. Huh. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, what do you need? Or I saw that you went on a trip. How was that? I'm looking to go to, you know, London next month. Like, what are the recommendations you have? Then you have something actual and meaningful and human to talk to people about.
It's so crazy because in a world that's so connected, we're all so lonely and impersonal.
Yes.
And I hate it.
But those genuine connections, those like when people pick up the phone or when people just even text you something that is meaningful that shows that they've been paying attention, that's like really, it's a big deal, right?
Some of my clients, they like laugh at me and they're like, you're a caller. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like,
you are a caller.
You love to talk on the phone. I was like, it's just better for me.
So funny. You are one of the rare people who calls me. And I always pick up your calls.
You know
what?
Because you're the best, Susie. Oh, you really are. And you know when I call, I got something good to say.
Yes.
Or I just need someone to hear me.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When people call you now, you're like, oh, it must be important.
I know.
Who
I
calls
know.
You?
It's actually like really bad. It gets to the point where it's like you almost need to preface it with like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, I'm just calling to say hi.
Yeah, actually, I'm sure any parent on this listening to this will understand. Anytime a school calls you, they'll say, everything's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's awful. No, I do, you know, I do call my mother incessantly and she's just like, yeah,
that's
I know, it's just
nice.
You. I know. I said to her, I was like, okay, all those times that I called you complaining, like I got to make up for it. I was like, today's pretty good. How's your day?
Aww.
You know, like, what are you up to?
I love that.
Okay. I'm looking at my list. So what can people, expect by coaching with you? What would an experience look like?
So I think the outcome of coaching with me is one or more of these things. One, I help people to just get into a better flow in their day.
Check.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead of constantly wondering, what am I supposed to do next? Which I think subconsciously we ask ourselves every minute.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute you say, what's next? Knowing the answer to that is a huge stress relief.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we ask ourselves all day long, what am I forgetting?
Mm.
And so giving you systems in order to know that you know what to do next and you're not forgetting anything. That's huge. And then I create structures to help you answer those two questions. And then I give you the tools, the actual tools and templates so that you don't have to start from scratch. So I say it's sort of like going to the gym and someone handing you a muscle suit. Instead of you having to work for months and months to build those muscles.
It's funny.
I give you the muscle suit and then you just have to work out to keep it going.
That's a very good analogy.
Thanks.
I would agree with that. Would you coach anything outside of real estate?
No.
Oh.
Not right now. Because again, I really, and this is how I did my real estate business and this is how I approach my coaching business. I believe in inch wide, mile deep. Mm-hmm. You should be focused. You should focus small to grow big.
Yeah. Something that I'm working on.
Yeah. Instead of, so when I was in real estate, you know, there are agents who will take business anywhere geographically.
Right.
To any audience segment. But I was very clear on who I wanted to target and what geography I was good at and everything else I referred out.
So who's a good coaching client for you? What's your ideal?
So my ideal coaching clients, you are the perfect coaching client. So
I'm a little difficult.
You are a little bit of an exception. And I think that that's great.
Thank you.
First of all, you keep me sharp. As with all clients, you do actually help me expand my muscles and my repertoire.
Ooh, my challenge. So
it's a great thing. It's a great thing, honestly. But my sort of more stereotypical coaching client is someone who is a solo agent who either is ready for an assistant, like you are, mm-hmm. Or were, or has had an assistant and this also is you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had an assistant and felt like it didn't work for whatever reason.
Sure.
And it's typically because their systems aren't set up.
Well, yeah, to be clear, I've had mine for 6 weeks and it is going good, but we need some systems.
Yes.
So we're working on it. Hiring one was a huge...
But you had previous assistants that weren't not as successful at times,
right? Yes, yes, yes. True. Right.
So people who are solo agents who are ready to grow and really just need help.
Yes.
Because there's a whole list of things that they shouldn't be doing. I say all the time, agents, anyone, any entrepreneur should be working in what only they can do.
Right.
And everything else should be delegated, right?
Yep.
Great book, Who Not How, if you haven't read it. You should read it.
Shot it down.
Yes. And or a team leader of a small team, 2 to 10 people typically, who just needs more structure in order to run their team more effectively. Because a lot of agents, as you know, get into the business because they love houses and they love people. They don't really know systems. They don't have operational backgrounds.
Not great with
they
paperwork.
They add people because they're great agents. And then someone says, hey, I want to work with you. Or, you know, will you hire me?
Right.
They add on people and they don't really know how to run a team.
Right.
And they don't have any structures so that they know if I were to go on vacation or if I got sick or if so-and-so left me. I say that I like to help people build businesses that are people agnostic so that if somebody won the lottery, then you could plug in the next person and you know exactly how to pick up from there.
Yeah, that's something we're working on. People agnostic, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, what are you excited for 2025?
Oh, good question, Steph. We didn't talk about this one in advance.
No, we didn't.
What am I excited for? Well, my word of the year this year is cultivate.
Oh, interesting.
Last year was clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And this year is cultivate. And because I feel like for 2 years, I've been planting a lot of seeds, as one does when you're starting a new business.
Yeah.
And I am for sure starting to see those things bloom. So my word of the month is bloom, actually, because I am definitely seeing things coming to fruition. And now I'm just having to, like, bring in the crop.
And what do you think about – this is a wild card – like, what do you think about the industry? Where are you seeing things go? You can answer this in so many different regards. Like,
I really could answer this in many different ways.
And I'm so interested.
So I think that the NAR settlement and all the disruption that happened with that was both good and bad.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that there was a lot that agents had gotten used to. I, for one, had people sign buyer agreements from the beginning.
Same.
Absolutely the beginning. And I saw that most people didn't, as you know, right? So that's not a big change. But the whole conversation around decoupling commission is not bad. Transparency, never a bad idea. Having said that, as with most things, the execution of it has been incredibly messy, right?
Yeah.
And has led to confusion for both consumers and for agents. And
I agree.
Confusion is just never a good thing. So that's
so
the bad part.
Yeah.
I also think the good thing is, as with most disruptions, and this is true of the economy right now, I think anything that's going to sift out people who shouldn't be in the business.
Agreed.
Is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
As with most industries, there are a lot of people in our business that are not good at their jobs.
Yeah.
And they do a disservice to both the consumers and to the industry, right? They make us look bad because there are a lot of people who phone it in, who got into the business when the going was good and don't know what they're doing. They don't advise their clients. They look at this as a paycheck instead of an actual relationship.
Yeah.
I got into real estate, as I'm sure you did and many people do, because it is the people, most people's greatest financial decision.
Yeah.
And it is where they raise their families.
Yeah.
There could not be more important things, you know?
Totally.
So I took it very, very seriously when I was selling real estate. And there are a lot of people who don't. And so if any of this is going to weed out some of those people, that's not a bad thing.
I agree.
I think this whole thing with like Zillow and what Compass is trying to do is also a good thing. I've actually gotten really comfortable with syndicated, you know, sites taking our listings, and I had sort of forgotten. It's sort of like the stuff you put by the stairs and you just pass by. You don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that Zillow sells our leads to other agents, and that's not good for anybody. Do you know?
You know, and it's like, it's so interesting. And the reason why, and this is, I'm watching all of this happen, whether it's the NAR settlement or the Zillow thing, whatever. I'm a 50,000 foot person. I've had some really interesting things happen with commissions. I've had interesting requests from both buyers and sellers. I'm just like observing and asking questions of how can I help?
Yeah.
What are your goals? Like, I have my own opinions, but I think they're still in the process of being formed. But the one thing that I thought I find to be so interesting is, you know, we tend to solve problems, or creation comes out of a problem that needed to be solved. Yes. And Zillow came out of a problem that needed to be solved because there wasn't great technology in real estate. And now we have one brokerage, our brokerage, which is saying, like, we're going to do it better.
Yep.
And it's created this very interesting shift. And the biggest, like, if we're going to talk about transparency, with commission, we really do need to talk about transparency in every aspect of this process, including like who does show your house?
Yeah.
Who is telling and providing information?
Right. And why does it matter?
And why does it matter? And did you know this?
Yeah.
And it's like so many people, you know, I've met with so many sellers recently and they're like, man, things have really changed.
Yeah.
And when did it get so complicated? Yeah. And I just try to strip it down and say, nothing's really changed. You still want to sell your house. There's probably someone that's going to buy it.
Yep.
We're going to do the best we can to make sure that happens.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I really like about Compass Leadership, not to like toot Compass's horn too much, but one of the things I appreciated from the very beginning is that it's actually not run by realtors. It's run by business people.
That's and a very interesting point.
They're able to give a perspective to the industry, I think, that is fresh and business-minded and consumer-oriented and not really thinking about it from the way that it's always been done.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes I see things that Robert Rufkin says, or I hear things and I question it and I think, well, that doesn't make sense to me. If practically speaking, you know, a day in the life of a realtor, that's not really how it works. But then I see how much farther he's thought about it
than
I have. You know, this whole Zillow thing, really, I was like, oh, wow.
I know.
This is a chess game. Like, I didn't see the five steps ahead that you saw.
That's an interesting statement. And I will also, again, to call out that I think Compass has also, the leadership has been really excellent in advising, guiding on all these things. And a lot of like our local in the region people have so much on the ground experience in real estate. There's this like nice balance.
Yes.
But I've been very impressed from how COVID was handled all the way to now. I mean, it's crazy to think about the changes our industry has seen in 5 years. From when we weren't allowed to show houses to today.
Because this company was started from a technology perspective.
Right.
It wasn't really a technology company, but it really was started. It is very similar to how in other parts of the world, they never had a wired mainframe for their infrastructure.
Right.
And so they've been able to leapfrog technology in a way that this country can't, because we're mired in the legacy infrastructure. So like we still have wires, right? Like power lines and telecommunications lines. And in other countries, they skipped over all that. And now they're just all wireless and satellite. So they're able to make progress in ways that we just can't get out of our own way from. And I think that's true of Compass versus other traditional real estate brokerages.
It's interesting.
Right?
Like, yeah.
It would be very difficult for any other brokerage to catch up to Compass's technology. I know this is totally not the topic that we're talking about
it's
at
okay.
all, but like.
We can hammer it down.
I think, yeah, it is amazing. Getting back to why I love coaching in this space, though, is that it is making decision making for agents easier. And the technology also helps consumers, by the way, because if an agent is really dialed in to their process and their systems, then they're naturally going to make better advisors for you as a buyer or seller.
Well, and I think it's very relevant because when we're talking about companies that are changing or how real estate is being, just the way we sell is different. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a coach is even more important.
Yep.
Or else, like you said, you just have to take a step back and ask yourself, like, it's changed so much that what I'm doing isn't working.
Yes.
And our mindsets have to change and people are so stuck in their own ways.
Yes.
Even to the point where I'm like, oh, the forms have changed since then. We need to stay on top of it. So maybe I can ask this, and this is a little just going to be a little bit different, but we know that we are in a very, very low inventory market across the country. Mm-hmm. And you coach, I think, across the country,
yep.
right? So what are some tips, tricks, tools that you would suggest for buyers who are going through the process with an agent mm-hmm. and their agents to do?
I think when you're in a market like this where it's actually low inventory in most places— mm-hmm. I just saw an agent newsletter that was saying that in the Boston area, it is both a seller's and a buyer's market in some pockets of their market.
Interesting.
And I think that you've seen that too around
in Philadelphia.
Here as well, right?
Yeah.
So it is that weird season where we're kind of like, I mean, we always answer to people's questions. It depends. Like,
well,
is it a seller market, a buyer's market? It depends. My answer to it, like, what do you tell agents about process and systems and things in this market is if you are slower, it's the perfect time to be dialing in how you run your business,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Because it is very difficult to change the tires while the bus is running.
Oh, yeah.
And while you're not as busy, whether it is this particular month or it's the August season where that gets a little bit slower for most agents.
And everyone starts panicking.
When you are in that mode of like, what do I do next? And I'm panicked and where's my business coming from? Take a breath and take the time to really nail down your systems because that will pay off. And when you're talking to clients, if you have good systems, it is the time to say, here's part of how I distinguish myself apart from my experience, because even amongst the most experienced agents,
yeah,
not everyone's going to have checklists and processes and, you know how to do things. So that's a huge point of distinction for agents who have all that stuff.
I've implemented a lot of the things that we've talked about, and it's almost like in some capacity, it's like my business just went, and it was because I was doing the little things mm-hmm. that, like, you know, following up, digging deep in the data, mm-hmm. making random phone calls to people in my sphere to procure something out yep. of nowhere. And I'm not saying like I'm cold calling or I'm knocking on doors. I'm calling an agent or something like that
right.
to say, hey, I saw that this was on the market a couple months ago. I think it might be a good fit for my client mm-hmm. or now with one of the tools with Make Me Move mm-hmm. Has been really cool too, actually.
Yes.
But what program, what's it called on your website? And we'll make sure everybody has all the info, but what is the program called where you think somebody an agent would excel at if they're a little slower right now and they want to just boost some things?
So I have a 1-day program.
Oh, yeah. The 1-day
called the Accelerator Program.
Literally.
Yeah. That I will come to you because it's not for everybody to do virtual coaching once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people, that's how they want it. They want like little morsels, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. That's the weekly coaching. But for some people, they want to eat the whole damn elephant all at once.
I've done both.
And that's Accelerator. So I will come to you and we will knock out your checklist primarily.
Yeah.
So that you can be like ready to go as soon as you get that next transaction. And even as you're working on other things, you can apply it.
I mean, I have so many more questions. Like we've talked for, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. What else do you think people should know about you? What parting thoughts do you have?
You know what I want, I love to share with people is that I am not a naturally organized person.
What?
So I think I share this often, but I'm an assessment junkie. I love a good assessment. And one of my favorites, I think I've shared with you, is the Clifton Strengths Assessment.
Have I done that?
I don't know.
We should.
You should. Okay. You absolutely should.
Should do it live.
It's by Gallup, and it's a great assessment tool. And I think it's either 23 or 32. I think there's 32 strengths. And the main premise of this is that you should not try to be a well-rounded person. Not everybody is good at everything, which we fundamentally know is true.
Right.
And yet we often think we should be good at everything.
Can't be all things to all people.
And that is one thing I think we've addressed a lot in coaching together is what to let go of, right? Like you get frustrated about a lot of things you're not great at. And I say, you don't have to be great at that. That's okay. You like find someone else to be great at that. But my Clifton Strengths Assessment, the bottom end of my strengths are discipline, consistency, and focus.
Ah.
And I think that's 100% accurate.
That's cool.
So I would not be able to function during the day because I can't focus very long. I'm not consistent about things, and I really don't have great self-discipline about a lot of things. If I didn't have systems, if I didn't have structure, I would not be successful. And yet I am. I'm super successful. I'm really good at doing what I do best because I have alarms for every freaking appointment that I have during the course of the day. I literally have an alarm that goes off. And I have a system by which every night, I think I've shared this with you. It doesn't work for you, but I absolutely live by it. At the end of the night, I say, delete all alarms to Siri. It deletes all my alarms for the day. And then I have shortcuts on my iPhone that I hit. It checks my calendar. And for every appointment for the next 24 hours, it sets an alarm 10 minutes before that appointment. The alarm goes off. I snooze it one time because on the iPhone, it's a 9-minute snooze button. You can't change it. And then 1 minute before it goes off again, and I know I need to be in front of the computer or in the car today. It went off at 2:50 that said leave. Because I need to get in my car to drive over here. Otherwise, I would have been late.
That's so good.
I am super optimistic about my use of time. So I'm always like,
Me too.
I can get this done.
Magical thinking. Right? You're like, I can do 17 things.
Exactly.
In 30
minutes. I get really hyper focused on certain things.
Yeah, me
as
too.
As do people with ADHD. And so if I don't have an alarm, then I will blow right past whatever time I'm supposed to be on the phone or on a call or in the car or whatever. So again, I'm not focused, I'm not consistent, I'm not disciplined. That's why I need structure and I need systems. And so I like to just tell everybody who thinks they're not a process or systems person, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
This has been so helpful. People can follow you on a lot of different platforms. Yes. Instagram, LinkedIn, you have a website.
Yes.
Any other place?
My website is susieadamson.com, super easy.
Yeah.
Instagram and LinkedIn, probably the best. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Because I deleted TikTok.
Look, keep that in there.
Because I had no discipline and I was on it all the time.
I never even got a TikTok.
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. It's such a time suck.
Ugh. So I think to piggyback off of one of our earlier thoughts, is complexity a form of laziness?
It's such an interesting question.
It is.
And I don't think I've ever been asked that question. I love it.
Here we go.
I would not say it's a form of laziness. I think with most things that are barriers to progress, it's a form of fear.
Mm. Avoidance.
Yes. I think people overcomplicate things and then they shut down from it. And it's kind of a vicious cycle, right? Maybe they want to shut down from, maybe it's, they don't actually want to get it done. It's the same thing with perfectionism.
Mm.
I hear people talk about, oh, I'm such a perfectionist. And I feel like that's also a form of complex, making things complex, right? I just want to get it right. And I'm just too much of a perfectionist. And that is based in fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not actually, I love to make the distinction that I recently just kind of came to. There's a difference between having high standards and being a perfectionist.
I agree with that.
I'm a very, I have really high standards.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
I love excellence, but there's a difference between excellence and perfectionism. And I'm sure everyone has heard of the illustration of archery, where if you're an archer, you aim for above the bullseye because the arrow will fall as it goes. And that's true in life. I used to say all the time to my team, like, I will always shoot for perfection, knowing I will fall short of that to good enough. If I shoot for good enough, I will get less than that.
Huh.
So I'm going to aim high and be okay with where I land. And that's where I think it's often helpful to have a third party or a coach as well, right?
For sure.
To say, no, that was amazing what you did. Like, your goal was, you know, 20 million this year. You got 15. It was still better than the 8 that you got last year. Let's keep focus on where you got to, right?
It's so funny because there's an actual visual on my running app. And my coach puts in these times to hit. And I, like, can't. I'm like, oh, I think I did okay. But then it literally judges your workout on a bullseye. And it's, like, relevant to the accuracy. I'm like, damn,
yes.
I nailed it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
Complexity as a form of, I think, avoidance.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's part of why in my coaching I tell you, break everything down to an action item.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because when you have too much complexity in your head, then you shut down, you avoid, you take too long, you beat yourself up.
You miss things.
Right. You throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But if you break it down, then it's manageable. And everything that you can do that you can check off is a hit of dopamine. So that's always, you know, completion. You got to get to a point where, I said this to a coaching client just today, set a timer for 10 minutes. And part of that is just to build up that muscle of completing a task.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, give yourself that win. And then you can, like, get on to the next thing.
How do you keep people – I'm asking this specifically for me. Like, my routine is – and you know this very well about me – is, like, I'm like a puppy. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to be exercised and, like, intellectually, like, stimulated, or I'm, like, a wreck. And today, you know, this morning, I, like, had a great sleep.
Yeah.
And
which is huge.
Huge. And a really good workout. And I was, like, so dialed in at my computer from like 10 to 2. Yeah. And I got to tell you, all I want to do is lay on the floor right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what are your tricks to keep the stamina, the momentum? You know, coffee's great, but, you know, it can only go so far.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I say, like, you know, just today I said to my client, I'm not trying to change who you are.
Right.
Right. So, like, knowing that about yourself is so important. And also knowing, like, what's going to allow you to lie down on the floor as soon as we stop talking, right?
I mean, look forward to it.
Right. And you can do that without the machine going, ah, you shouldn't be doing that. This is terrible. You shouldn't be relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you know that you have done what you needed to get done.
Well, and I think—
And so that's part of the system, right?
What I'm working on, too, is knowing that, like, I think in this business, as— any entrepreneur has, or really any busy person, right? Like any parent, any mom that's running a house or dad that's running a house, like there are a million things to do.
Yep.
You still need to take care of a kid and do the laundry. And it doesn't matter what time it is, right? And same thing for me is like, I'm like, okay, so I did everything that was urgent.
Yes.
But I might, it's okay that I can't get to everything that's also important.
Yes.
Everything is important, but we've really worked on distinguishing, okay, I've got 3 closings this week. That's urgent. We got to make sure that everybody knows what they're bringing to the closing table, that, you know, the furniture's out of the house.
That's
that would be bad.
Right.
But I'm working on knowing when to, like, when I don't need to go at 100 miles an hour and I can let my foot off the gas a little bit.
Yes.
And taking a break doesn't mean you're that you've stopped.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you are like the car is turned off. It just means you're not going at warp speed.
That's right. And knowing when you have to recharge your battery. We talk about that a lot.
We do. And I think it's incredibly hard. I mean, one of the things that has been so powerful working together is because, you know, I do have a slew of learning challenges, you know, that I've always had as a kid. And I don't, well, like you just grow up and they go away.
Mm-hmm.
You just learn how to work through them.
Yep.
And you're like, I joke, like, you know, too many people. You're like my real estate tutor, but the reality is, you know, you're a coach, you're a business leader, and you're like, I'm accountable to you,
yeah,
which feels great,
yeah.
Or else I'd be a Tasmanian devil everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same idea as joining a gym, right? Why do people join a gym? It's not because they can't work out at home.
Right.
It's because paying a gym sometimes makes you go work out.
Go work out. Oh, this is really great. This is a good one.
Young Junk!